I think we're getting that song slowly but surely. I tell you what, I would rather preach 1,000 sermons than lead one song that people aren't too sure about. And I appreciate Kevin doing that so much, and all of the song leaders here that do such a great job. You can go ahead and be turning to Genesis chapter 45. We're going to continue where we left off this morning. And as we introduced this topic today, I encourage you to mark in your Bibles, especially for this sermon. Write down each point, right along each verse that it corresponds with. And from time to time, it would be good, even as a family, to read this great chapter together and just see how well your home compares to what the home should be as told in this great chapter, Genesis 45. For those of you who are not able to be here this morning, let me just give you a quick background. I'm sure most of you are already familiar with this. But this is the point where Joseph is going to reveal who he is, his identity to his brothers, the ones that sold him into slavery. Now Joseph is getting ready to tell them who he is. And as we saw this morning, let's just read in verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. From that first verse, we saw that the home is a place of privacy. When there are family problems, they ought to be taken care of in the home. You don't go out and you don't talk to your mom and dad about it. You don't go talk and put your spouse down to co-workers or to friends. You take care of these things in the home. And we wanted to make sure that we're not talking about going to a preacher or to an elder to try to get help for the home. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're just going and talking about putting the home down, your home down, to people outside of the home. That is not what the home should be. It is a place of privacy. And then verse 2, we notice, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. So we saw that the home is a place of tenderness. It's a place of tenderness. Where else in this world can we go and let our true feelings be seen? That person who we truly desire to be, who we are on the inside, where else can we go and be ourselves but in the home? It's a place of tenderness. Verse 3, and Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him. I don't blame them, for they were troubled at his presence. We saw that the home is a place where the conscience is developed. Conscience is developed in the home. Why were they troubled? Because they knew that what they had done was wrong. They knew they couldn't go back and tell their dad, "Hey, Dad, we sold our brother into slavery today." They knew they had to come up with a lie. They knew what they had done was wrong. And that's why they were troubled at his presence. That is the place where the conscience is to be developed. And as we reminded everybody this morning, as we, again, not trying to scare parents, but to just be very real about it, and the fact of the matter is, all that our children know about God for the first few years of their lives comes from the home. And what a great responsibility that is ours to teach our children what God expects of them in their lives. Verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Verse 5, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve lives. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest." And so home is also the place of forgiveness or comfort. He says, don't be too hard on yourselves. This was all part of God's great plan. I just want you to know, you are forgiven for what you've done. And as we challenge parents this morning to have the attitude that God truly has for us, there is nothing you will ever do in this life that will make me stop loving you. Or there's nothing you can do in this life for which I will not forgive you. I think it's good for our children to hear that from our lips from time to time. After all, that's exactly how we are, or how our Father is. As he is pictured in the parable of the prodigal son, he is the father that the prodigal could go home to because he knew his father was just and righteous, and that he would forgive him. So that's where we left off this morning with those points. Now we'll go down to verse 7, and we learn something else about the home. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 7 would indicate that home is a place where service is taught. Serving others is taught in the home. Again, verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity. I came, this was all part of God's great plan, so that I could do this for whom? For you. To preserve a posterity for you. This was all part of God's plan so that I could help you, that I could preserve us, I could preserve our family, I could preserve our lineage. This was all God's great plan so that I could come and be a service to you. The home is a place where service, serving other people, is taught and learned. Now, how can we do that? I think it's a little bit more than saying, honey, would you give me another glass of lemonade? That's probably not the best way to teach it. Children are not bond servants, although they're pretty good at it from time to time. But you know the greatest way to teach children service is by me serving others in the home and them seeing that. The mother and father taking a lead in serving each other in the home and the children seeing them serve others from the home. This is the place where service is taught. That's why we're here on this earth. Not to receive some great things only, although we do receive wonderful things on this earth, but to serve others. Is that why our Savior came? He didn't come to be ministered unto, but he came to minister unto others. And we see that developed in the home. And then it goes on to verse 8, and I want to spend just a couple minutes on this one especially. Verse 8, he says, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. The home is a place where a godly attitude is taught. Godly attitude. The home is a place where a godly attitude is taught. I have no doubt that Joseph learned a lot, even being on his own. He had to rely on God because oftentimes God was all that he had in this wicked, corrupt society that he was sold into. But before he left home, mark there chapter 45 and turn back to chapter 35, Genesis 35. And let's see where he learned this great reliance upon God and his need to always have a good attitude for the things that God does in our lives. Joseph was sent to a foreign land, but guess what? So was his father. Chapter 35, verse 1. God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethuel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Watch verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go unto Bethuel, and I will make there an altar unto God. Watch this. Who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they all gave Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed. And it goes on. But that verse I want us to see is verse 3. Arise, go to Bethuel. I will make there an altar unto God. Here, watch this. Who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. I wonder where Joseph learned this great attitude that he had in verse 8. Let's go back to 45 now. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. I wonder where Joseph got the idea that this was all part of God's providential plan. He had heard this all before. He had seen it all before in the attitude his father always displayed. God is with me. Even when I'm in a strange land, even when I'm going through things that are hurtful, my God is always with me. I believe, and that doesn't matter at all, but I think the things that we've seen, and probably all of us can agree, as a matter of fact, studies have now shown this, that your attitude basically is what you make it to be. Now, I'm not saying things can't happen in your life that devastate you and can make you just so somber and depressed. Generally speaking, your attitude is what you make it to be. And have you ever noticed, and I'm not trying to get you to think about anybody in particular, have you ever noticed it seems like negative mothers and fathers breed negative sons and daughters? That it's usually passed on like eye color and hair color, so is the attitude that's in the home. Where do our children learn godly attitudes? Let's think about this. In school? On the playground? At the park? Let's go even further. How about at the church building? What's something about all of those things? I can't control the atmosphere at any of them on my own. I think I've told this story before, but one of our girls came out of class, Bible class, one Sunday. We're on our way home, and she starts talking about the movie The Bride of Chucky. I know she didn't watch that in our home. And I know that she had never watched the movie. And I just knew a little bit about it. And I asked her, where did you learn about the Bride of Chucky? One of the girls in Bible class was telling me all about it. My point is this. I can't have complete control of what happens at school. I can't have complete control of what happens when my children are playing with other children, and neither can you. I can't even have control of everything in a Bible class. What's the only place that we can control? The home. If our children are going to learn to rely on God and have the attitude that God, whatever your will is, I'm willing to follow it. Friend, it's got to be developed in the home. And that's where Joseph first learned this. Verse 9, he goes on to say, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Let's read this again. I'm going to emphasize this. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph. And then watch what he says. God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. I'm the Lord of all Egypt. The country that you're coming to beg to, Father, you need to know something. I'm the ruler of it all. But what is he still? Though Joseph would be the king of the world, what would he still be? Thy son. I am thy son. Out of all the heights that he attained in his life, he never forgot who his father was and who he was. Father, you are here, Jacob, you are here, and I am beneath you. Thy son. The home is a place of respect. The home is a place of respect. Our children pick up on things a lot more than we give them credit for, don't they? I mean, they're smart. Boy, they are smart. They see things. They figure things out. And sometimes we don't give them the credit they deserve to figure these things out. But one of the greatest places our children can learn respect is when they look at their mother and father. If the father doesn't respect the mother, they know it. If the mother doesn't respect the father, they know it. They pick up on it. And unfortunately, it becomes a part of who they are. A lack of respect. This goes back to a little bit about what we were saying this morning about putting down our spouses. We talked about how it's never good to do that to our parents. It's never good to do that to co-workers. It's never good to do that with friends. Ever is it good to do that to those people outside of the home. But you know, it's not good to do, especially in front of our children. I know, and God knows, there's going to be disagreements from time to time in the home. But you can disagree and still be respectful, can't you? I've watched the show Cops. I'm infatuated with that kind of thing. Would never want to actually go to a call, but I like to watch it. I told Tori when she becomes a police officer, I'm going to ride around with her, and if she needs me, I'll be in the car with the doors locked. But I was watching an episode one time, and there was a domestic dispute. There's a little child there. And a female officer was holding the child, and the mom and dad were just going at it. And the names they were calling each other, and the daughter was listening to it all. Now, just think about this. There's two people in this world who are supposed to love each other the most. Talking about a physical relationship, a husband and a wife. If there's no respect there, you think the children are going to respect their spouse someday? You think the children are going to go to school and respect the authority of their teachers? You think the children... We blame kids for all of these things, but I'm going to tell you something. They learned it somewhere. And unfortunately, oftentimes, it's learned in the home. The home is a place of respect. Then verse 10. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. I love this verse. I love this verse. He's talking again to his father. Listen, brethren, go back. Tell my father. Tell him thy son is still alive and all of these things. Let's read it again, verse 10. And this is what I want you to tell him. Father, thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me. Thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. The home is a place of provision. The home is a place of provision. Here he's talking about physical things. Fathers, it is up to us to provide for our family. I know that's old-fashioned. It's so old-fashioned that it goes all the way back to the Bible. We are to be the providers in our home. Not saying at all that the women can't work outside of the home. Not saying at all that the woman can't make more than the man. That would be great. But it is up to you, fathers, to make sure the provision is in the home. That's the responsibility God has given us. And it's still our responsibility. Home is a place where provision is taught. And then lastly, verse 11. He continues talking to his father through his brethren, and he says, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. The home is a place of concern and love. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Listen to what he says. Dad, I want to nourish you. You took care of me until my brothers took care of me. And now, I want to take care of you. I want to nourish you. I want to nourish your children. Yeah, even the ones that sold me into slavery. I want to nourish your grandchildren. I want to take care of you. Why? Because there, in the home there is concern and love. I'll never forget hearing a preacher talk about a place called paradise. Some of you, I'm sure if I called his name, you would remember and know who I'm talking about. But he actually has his farm down in Tennessee, and the name of that farm is Paradise. He's named it Paradise because to him, his home is paradise on earth. And you know what? That's exactly what the home should be. The home should be a little of paradise on the earth. And the only thing that's going to make that possible is when there's love and concern in that home. Love and concern in that home. We've looked this morning and this evening to see what the home is. And I'm going to repeat these points one more time, just in case you didn't get it. We're going to develop these throughout the rest of the year. This is just an introduction, but the home is a place of privacy. That's verse 1. Verse 2, verse 1, I skipped over this one. The home is a place where there should be precious memories. Number 3, and verse 2, the home is a place of tenderness. The home is a place where the conscience is developed. The home is a place of forgiveness. The home is a place where service is taught. The home is a place where the godly attitude is instilled. The home is a place of respect. The home is a place of provision. And the home is a place of concern and love. I want to ask you as we end this introduction, this question. How does your home stack up against what we've read today? And I'm not looking for a verbal answer. I'm looking for an answer in your mind. How does your home compare to this? It's a big, big question, isn't it? Let me ask it a different way then. Do you think there's room for improvement in your home? You know what? I know there is. And you know how I know that? Because we're all humans. And as long as we're humans, there's going to be places for an improvement in our homes. This is what this series is all going to be about. And I'm going to tell you something. As the one who's going to be preaching this sermon, I don't want you to think he's standing up there acting like he knows everything. My home needs improvement. Everybody's home needs improvement. So these things that we're going to talk about are going to be preached not to make you feel badly about your home, not to put your home down, but friend and brother and sister, it's to build our home up to what they ought to be. As we said the very first lesson, what we've been doing now for the last several years is not working. When 72% of our young people, members of the Church of Christ, are leaving the home and leaving the Lord, it's not been working. It's not working. It's time for a radical change in the homes of many. Yes, even Christians. The best thing you could do for your home tonight is to be faithful to the Lord yourself. If you are not faithful, meaning that you've never been baptized into Christ, or at one time you did obey the gospel, but you've left the Lord and you've gone back into the world, you need to come back. Let your family see that. Take the lead in being the man or the woman that you need to be. And let your family see you take that lead today while together we stand and sing this song.